This morning's scripture reading is from Ecclesiastes 4:11. And it reads, "Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone?"
It's good to see everyone here this morning. It's good to see also the rain. I hope after services that you'll be able to stay for the meal that's been prepared as we honor our veterans. And I'm sure, veterans, if you're here, that you'll get to eat first. Barney will like that. You know, one of the most amazing things I ever saw occurred when we were living in North Dakota. And I'm going to ask Katie to forgive because I can't remember exactly, but I believe it was our son that took a cup of boiling water and had stepped out the back door of the house and tossed the water in the air, where it changed immediately into snow. Yes, it was about 20, 30 below zero when he did it. My first reaction was, "Hey, that's really cool." My second reaction was, "It's really cold." Almost everyone in the South would think, and rightly so, that's crazy to go outside in that kind of weather. When you consider that water boils at 212 degrees Fahrenheit and that it freezes at 32 degrees, at 20 below zero, the water in that cup, when it was thrown in the air, had cooled over 180 degrees in a split second. The water froze because of a failure to maintain the heat. Or in the context of the lesson this morning, to maintain the fire. What happens in the physical world can also happen in the spiritual world. And what I'm speaking this morning about is our spiritual fire. What can we do to maintain that fire? You know, it takes an awful lot of energy to warm water, but it takes very little to no energy to cool it. In order to boil water, you must have a significant energy source. As a matter of fact, it takes 398 BTUs to change frozen water to boiling water. Energy is required. To the contrary, to cool the water takes practically no energy at all. And then the flick of a wrist, the boiling water was frozen. This reminds me of Paul's words to the church in Ephesus to endeavor to keep unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace in Ephesians 4 and verse 3. But he also goes on to say in Galatians 5 and verse 6, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, neither uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh love." That Greek word for faith, energio, is where we get the word energy from. Faith working through love. Even spiritually, energy, effort, work is required in order to stay warm. But what is required to freeze? Absolutely nothing. Work, that is, the input of energy, is important for us to be able to maintain our spiritual fire. You know, together the water in that cup was warm. But through the act of throwing it in the air, the water became separated and it became cold. Those trillions of water molecules in that boiling cup stayed warm as long as they were in close proximity to each other. They fed off of each other. They kept their warmth because they were together. However, once they were dispersed, they quickly cooled, not having the company of their brethren, so to speak, to keep them warm. the verse that Charles read, Ecclesiastes 4:11, again, if two lie together, then they have heat, but how can one be warm alone? It reminds me of a story of a preacher who had gone out to visit a member of the church that hadn't been there in many, many months. And he knocked on the man's door, and the man warmly received him into his home, and they exchanged some pleasantries, and then the man invited him into the living room where he had a fire going. And so they sat down in chairs next to the fire, and from that moment on, not a word was mentioned. No one uttered a sound. And after a few minutes, the preacher had gone over and taken a pair of tongs. And in the fire, he reached and he pulled out an ember and he set it out there on the hearth by itself. And in a very short while, the ember cooled until there was almost no fire left in it. Still not saying a word, he reached over with the tongs and he took the ember and he put it back in the fire, and it again started to glow and give off its heat. Without another word, he got up, shook hands with the man, and then he said, "I hope to see you Sunday." Message delivered, message received. The man was there Sunday morning. You know, I don't know if any of you have ever seen, there was a show on, and I don't know why it went off. It was one of those reality shows. They took a couple of families and they put them out in the middle of nowhere, and they were supposed to try to survive as the pioneers did in the early days. And they put them out in the spring, and they had to work spring and summer to get ready for fall and winter. And they had the rudimentary tools that would be used then, no modern conveniences. They had to raise their crop. They had to feed their livestock. They had to harvest their crop. But you know, one of the things that I remember the most was that they were constantly chopping wood. They had to have a supply of wood in order to get them through the winter. Now, most people realize that if you have your heat coming from wood, that a cord of firewood will not last you the winter. Not to mention cooking and providing heat. You would have to have many, many, many cords of wood in order to last the whole winter. And of course, these folks, they had the misfortune of putting them not in the south, but in the northern plains. They were filling up wood bins like you wouldn't believe. The chopping, the cutting was done every single day. But they had to work together in order to be able to put aside enough things to get them through the winter. Brethren, we need to exhort one another. We need to exhort them daily and not forsake the assembly. In Hebrews 3 and verse 13, it reminds us here to exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In Hebrews 10 verse 25, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. The writer of the Hebrews letter is not talking about attending services. Yes, that's a part of it. But our daily lives need to be filled with one another. I boast of this congregation a lot. When folks ask us about different things, I talk them about the good works that the church does here. I talk about the churches that we help keep their doors open. I talk about the mission work that the church supports and the good work that it does. But then I look over at our attendance board and I see the numbers just keep dropping and dropping and dropping, and And I know that there are those who attend here who are not physically unable to do so. But where is our effort into them? I myself am not casting and pointing blame because I'm just as guilty as the next. You know, about once a week, Brother James calls me. Oftentimes he's driving his truck. Sometimes I can hear him backing up into a loading dock. You can't mistake the beep, beep, beep of a truck backing up. But at least once a week he calls and asks how I'm doing. And you know, through a week, and I'm probably as normal as anybody else in this room, you have at least a dozen discouragements a week, at least. But you know, that one phone call dispels at least a half a dozen of the dozen, at least. And then when I come here on Wednesday nights and I talk with you all, and I see examples of Willie and Martha and Sister Daisy and the others who would probably be more comfortable sitting home because of the strain of being able to get out. And the example they set dispels the other dozen, half a dozen. We're out in the world 6 days out of the week, my friends. We're out there amongst the people out there who do not like us. We're out there in the world of people who are trying to drag us down. And brethren, our fellowship is so much more needed today than ever before. Togetherness is important to maintaining our spiritual fire. You know, getting back to that cup of water, it didn't become snow without someone agitating the cup. Now, my son agitated the cup when he threw it up in the air. To be perfectly known, we had to go in and boil some more water to see if we could do it again. We wanted to see for it ourselves. You know, if that water had been left in that cup, it would have stayed hot. Even out in 20 degrees below zero, it would have stayed hot for a little while. But it was moved. It was stirred. It was agitated. And this resulted in the decrease of heat and the increase of cold. Brethren, agitation within the Lord's church has the same results. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul told the brethren there to do all things without murmurings and disputings. I think Vicki reminds me that about 15, 20 times a week when she asks me to do something. Yesterday I had all these grandiose plans of what I was going to get done because I got some of the big things done on Friday. And I thought, wow, tomorrow I can do something I want to do. I didn't have to drive to Georgia for a soccer game. It was a day in where I could get some things accomplished. And I got up early and I went and made my weekly trip to the dump, and then I went over to Home Depot and Lowe's to get the things I needed to accomplish what I wanted to get done for the day. And I got home about 11 o'clock after battling everybody else out on the roads, and I got home and I unloaded the truck and I go in the house, and Vicki says, "You have a minute?" Automatically I knew this is not going as planned. And I said, "Well, sure." And I sat down, and she says, "I know you're excited to play with the toys you just got." That's what wives call all the men's tools and stuff, is toys. She says, "But this needs to get done first." And I knew exactly what she meant, but I was dreading it because I've been putting it off. I mean, you know, a swimming pool and back full of leaves, the water already evaporated. What's it going to hurt, right? No, it's got to get packed up and put away. She didn't ask. She didn't know what she was asking. Because I had to get all the leaves out of the pool. I could have probably just folded it all up and put it away, and she'd have never known till spring. Then I could have come up with a good excuse by then. So I get all the leaves out, and then, all, of course, leaves, when it sits, it makes little marks and dirt and everything else that gets in there, and acorns and the stupid squirrels, they got to go and play in the pool. All day. 4 hours to get that thing folded up, deflated, cleaned up, and put in the tubby. Of course, by the time that was done, my back hurt, my knees hurt, and my recliner beckoned me. And it was getting real close to the Clemson game starting. Did it ever start? I think Clemson failed to show up. Anyway, the thing was is that the minute she said that, now I said, yes, dear. But my mind was murmurings and disputings, because everything that I had planned to do yesterday did not get done. You know, Paul in Colossians 3:13, he said, forbearing one another. Brethren, we have to live together. And we're all of different backgrounds. We have all been raised differently. Our minds think differently, but we must forbear one another. Even with all of our little idiosyncrasies, we need to overcome those things and overlook those things just as God is forbearing with us. And he says, and forgiving one another. And if any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Brethren, instead of the murmurings and the quarrelings, we need to practice forgiveness to keep ourselves warm and lively. Forgiveness is important to maintaining our spiritual fire. Brethren, I could go on for hours of all kinds of examples of things that I have lived through. But I won't, because I think the point has been made. You know, we all know what it means when the body has assumed room temperature. We all know what that means. Brethren, warmth equals life, and cold equals death. If we don't do everything we can to maintain our spiritual fire, individually and collectively, we become the church of Laodicea. We become that church. And it didn't bode well for them. And if we become that church, it won't bode well for us. If you look at the seven churches of Asia today, none exist. Now you say, well, oh, there's churches over there. There's Christian churches. They're not the church that Christ established. There's no churches there anymore. They did not keep their spiritual fire. I don't want to be spewed out of the Lord's mouth, and I don't think anyone here does. I don't ever want to see a day where the Lord's Church in Malden has to close its doors like the Lord's Church in Greer. The other day when I was driving down to see Mac, the hospital, I drove past the old Greer Church of Christ. It is a Catholic church today. And it saddened me. It truly saddened me. That still in the upstate and in the state of South Carolina, where the Lord's Church, and while you may see some, is still considered a spiritual or a missionary work. Why? Why haven't we done more? Where is our spiritual fire? Where's your spiritual fire this morning? Is it where it needs to be? Do you gather your warmth from one another? Is the encouragement of each other what keeps you moving, keeps you alive? Do we have to think about these things? And if we can sit back and we say to ourselves, you know, I'm not hot like I used to be. I'm kind of warm now. Is it time to change? If that's what you're thinking, then yes, it is time to change. And then you need to ask yourself, what can I do to get that fire back? It can start immediately by doing exactly what God wants you to do. And we've talked before about that repentance that leads to salvation. The sacrifice that we must make, but how many of us have put off the world and thrown it away? You know, we made a commitment to obey the gospel. But how committed are we to that commitment? Are we still too tied to the world in order to be effective for the Lord? We need to ask ourselves the question. If you're not a child of God, my friends, that hope of eternal life will escape you. It will not be there. The Lord, in the perfect time, sent His Son Jesus to die on that cross. And that we have the good news, the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And while today we can't have Christ nailed back up on that cross every time He is there, for those who is not a child of God, I want you to think about that death, burial, and the resurrection. Because you won't know about it if you don't hear God's word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But you know, Jesus also said that repentance is a necessity. And just as He told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, He said, unless you've been born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot be saved. You look at the other scriptures, and water is such a crucial element in salvation. Nicodemus didn't understand what Jesus meant, and he probably still didn't understand after Jesus got done telling him. My brethren, Peter in Acts chapter 2, he finally got the message across to 3,000 souls. Because he convicted them of their sins. And it hit them like a heart attack. It says, the scriptures say that their hearts were pricked, but it was much more than just a pinprick. They repented, which is necessity. And they confessed that Jesus is the Christ, and they were baptized for the remission of their sins. You see, the baptism is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Your old man dies. You are buried in the water, and you come up out of that water a new man, a new creature. Washed from all sins. And we could name 20, 30 scriptures about baptism and the necessity thereof. If you have not obeyed that, or if you were even baptized for the wrong reasons, many today use it as a show of faith. But the Bible says that you're not saved until you're baptized. In Acts 22:16, Ananias told Paul, why tarriest thou? Be baptized and have your sins washed away. There's nothing magical about the water. It's the faith and the belief that does its work. And baptism is a work, but it is also the work of God Himself and God only. because He is the one that does the spiritual circumcision on our hearts. If you haven't been a child of God, we want to give you that opportunity this morning to make it known. If you are a child of God and your fire has gone out, or your ember has been sat on the hearth and it has been cooling, brethren, there's still a spark there, and there's a way to get the fire back. If anyone has a need this morning, won't you come as together we stand and we sing?